I consider myself a good Baptist. I enjoy fellowship with other good Baptists. But I wonder sometimes if we're missing the power of Christ in the Gospels. As a Baptist, I want to be careful, along with my Presbyterian friends, to worship the Jesus of the Scriptures. We know we don't want to worship the Jesus of the Pope. We don't want to worship the Jesus of Greek Orthodoxy. We don't want to certainly not worship the manufactured Jesus of the Mormons and the cults. But I wonder sometimes if we are afraid to be encountered by the Jesus of the Gospels. Are we afraid of what he might do to our theology? In Matthew 9:32-38, and I'll actually go through the next verse, next chapter, chapter 10, verse 1. There's a section in the Gospels that's representative of so much of the Gospels. So much of what Jesus did throughout the Gospels. It's clear, if you open the Gospels and read them through, it's undeniable that Jesus was a healer. Jesus healed. He raised the dead. But it's also undeniable that we don't see any of that going on in American churches. We hardly see anyone really being raised from spiritual death and regeneration. What's up with that? What's happening? Now, before we go any further, let me just assure you, this isn't some kind of a backdoor way to sell you on some kind of health and wealth gospel where God heals on demand. I don't believe in any of that. I don't believe this. If you're sick, or if you have some chronic disease, that somehow you lack faith. So, with that disclaimer, my purpose today is to encourage you to allow the Jesus of the Gospel to encounter you. One of the reasons we named this ministry Encounter Recovery Ministries. We want to be clear that redemption, transformation, wholeness only comes as we are encountered by the living Christ. We can't go about worshiping history. We can't go about reading the Gospels as if they're only history, which they are. They're true history. Those things happened. Don't get me wrong. But we can't, without a living encounter with the living Christ, all we're doing is worshiping history. So let me read this text, Matthew 9:32 through chapter 10, verse 1. And as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man, a mute man, possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. End quote. The text that I just read you comes on the heels of Jesus raising Jairus' daughter to life and healing two blind men. That brings us up to chapter 9, verse 31. And so there's a lot of healing going on in Jesus' ministry. There's a lot of power being displayed in Jesus' ministry. And then it goes right into verse 32 when he heals a mute man who was possessed by a demon. And when the demon was cast out, the mute man spoke. And all the people marveled and said, it was never so seen in Israel. These people had never seen the power of God put on display. No doubt they went to synagogue, most of them, every week, every Sabbath. No doubt they heard the scriptures read. No doubt the rabbis taught them during the week. No doubt they went to the feasts in Jerusalem. They observed the dietary laws. Now, of course, there were those Jews who didn't, but I'm talking about the general sense here. But these people had not seen the power of God displayed. It has never been seen like this in Israel, they said. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. Now, what I'm saying to you is that the people of Israel were under an oppressive, apostate religious system. It was powerless. It was hierarchical. It was greedy. It was exploitive. It was ran by men who sought the best seats in the synagogues. They loved their position. They loved to be called rabbi in the marketplace. But they had nothing to offer these people. And when these people began to see the power of God, the leaders of that apostate religious system had nothing to say about it other than to blaspheme and say it was of the devil. Let me ask you, of what I've just described of the Pharisees and what I've just read to you of Jesus, which of those two things, which of those two dynamics is most representative in the evangelical church today? Now, I'm not talking about the lunatic fringe. I'm not talking about the Kenneth Copelands. I'm not talking about the Benny Hinns. I'm not talking about those who are charlatans, who feign the power of God. I'm not talking about those who fake these things for money, for gain, and for fame. They'd fall more into the realm of the Pharisees. In other words, if to be encountered by Jesus today, it would be possible and perhaps likely that somebody might cry out, it's never been so seen in the church. But it has. The book of Acts and the epistles. The point is here is that we ought not be afraid to be encountered by the Jesus of the Gospels. We don't want to ever be found worshiping a limited, fettered, diminished Jesus just because the Jesus of the Gospels doesn't fit into our tradition. Just because the Jesus of the Gospels might cause us to question our confessions. We don't want to worship the Jesus of the Pope. We certainly don't want to worship the Jesus of the Mormons. We don't want to worship a Jesus of the Greek Orthodox who simply died to make salvation possible for you to save yourself. No, we don't want any of that. But do we really want a Jesus in our own tradition that we have so limited, and we have so boxed up that we can't experience him, we can't be encountered by him? Many of us are familiar with the Revelation chapter 3 where Jesus is left knocking on the door of the church. And we've distorted and twisted that passage to make it an evangelistic passage, and it's not. The clear point there is that Jesus is left knocking on the door of the church, of his church. He's outside knocking on the door. I wonder sometimes if we could listen carefully on some Sunday morning when we're gathered together again, if we could hear, and we'd have to wonder, what's that? Who is that? It's somebody knocking. I wonder if Jesus is on the outside or the inside of our churches. It's so important for us to be so comfortable that we aren't willing to read this passage in Matthew and passages like it throughout the Gospels and say, okay, I want to be encountered by this Jesus. I want to bring who I am, my iniquities, my sicknesses, the destructions of my life, and have this Jesus touch me. I want to ask him to make me whole. And consider, finally, the scope and the power of our Lord's ministry. It says that Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the sovereignty of God, and healing, now listen to this, every sickness and every disease. There's a breadth and a depth to the power of our Lord's presence and ministry among us that I fear that we are missing. I'm not suggesting that all of our pastors suddenly become faith healers by any stretch. And I'm not saying that if we don't have healings every week in our churches, that somehow we're missing out on Jesus. What I am saying is that we need to be willing to have the Jesus of the Gospels encounter us. And to be so encountered that we're willing to set aside our traditions, our reservations, our need for control, and allow him to be who he is in our life, not who we've been trained to think that he should be, especially if that means he's limited in our life, his power is reduced and diminished in our life. You notice at the end of the text that he gave this power to his disciples. And he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal, again, all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease. The kingdom of God has come in this text. The kingdom of God has been inaugurated, and the power of the kingdom is present among God's people. And they had never seen it so. And the response of the Pharisees was to blame it on the devil. My brothers and sisters, let's be careful to not be so Pharisaic that if we encounter, or Jesus encounters us, with that same scope and power in our churches and among our fellowships, that we are so too quick to run and say, oh, that must be of the devil. Let's never go there. Let's test all things. So let me just say, this is not so much about healing. This is not so much about anything other than being willing to be encountered by the Jesus of the Gospels. In all his power, in all his breadth and depth of that power. And to know his touch in a healing, saving way that brings wholeness into our lives. I pray that you meditate on what I've just said today. Pray on this. Give it some thought. Ask the Lord for illumination. Read this text, Matthew 9:32 through 10:1. Read it two or three times. Pray about it. And ask, is this the Jesus that is encountering me? Is this the Jesus that I need? Am I limiting my understanding of the Lord in a way that leaves me in pain, sick, addicted, lonely, sad, broken, when his healing power, his touch to restore, to transform, to reshape my life into his image is available? Let's pursue this. Don't be afraid of the Jesus of the Gospels. Amen.